responsible for your stupidity. In short, don't try this at home or at all.
Visit the website at Mike Hunts on Fire.
What?
Oh, God.
Dot com.
No.
Is that for real?
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Mike Hunts on Fire.
That's the website.
Dot com.
Jackie's very upset that he didn't think of that first.
Jackie thought he owned
that. Y'all are killing me.
Oh, that's funny.
And Shane, he's wonderful. He's been very good to me.
He's the promoter?
Yes, he is.
I see.
Yes.
He asked you to appear
yes.
there.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, man.
Hey, what's going on?
This is Jonathan?
Yes.
Okay. And you're with DanaPlatoForever.com.
Yeah, that's me.
Right on, man.
Alright.
Yeah, so what's going on?
Not much. I mean, like, what kind of information do you... I mean, like, I talked to Robert, like, Sunday night?
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me, he wants to write a book.
Okay.
And he said that he wants... I don't know what the hell he wants to call it or whatever. And he wants to do a tell-all story, like from the rumors in your book, and all. He said that everything in your book's basically untrue. Now, basically, I don't know what's true and what's not.
So, Jonathan, you told me before you were recording all your phone calls.
Yep.
So, are you recording this one?
Yep.
What state are you in?
Virginia.
Is it legal there to record phone calls without telling people?
Actually, it's just like a one consent. It's basically as long as the person knows that they're basically, you know.
Yeah, but you didn't tell me at the beginning of the phone call.
No, but he said as long as I know.
Oh, that's your state law?
It's basically, it says one consent. It said as long as one person knows. And basically, I figure if I know, that's it.
Oh, yeah, I think it's one person on the other line knows. But I'm fine because I'm recording this phone call.
Right, yeah, I figured you were.
For my radio.
I'm not using it for anything. I do it so like if I ask you a question. Brother, I'm gonna ask you again.
Hey man, you're using it for something. Then that's that. I'm not upset by it. I just wanted to let you know that I'm recording.
Yeah, I didn't care.
I knew that you were because you told me sorta in an email before, so I just assumed that you were. Don't get on the defensive, bro. It's all good.
No, I understand.
And
I don't know if you were getting upset about it though.
No, I wouldn't have taken the call. I know, you know, it's cool. So I'm recording this and I wanted to use this for my radio show.
Okay.
So that's why I want to talk to you. You know, I thought it would be an interesting phone call. So you're talking about my book, Dana Plato's Last Breath.
Right, yes.
Okay. And so Robert Menchaca, mm-hmm. Dana's fiancé, let's start there. Let's just start over, okay?
Okay.
I'm on the phone with Jonathan. Jonathan called me. He's from DanaPlatoForever.com. Correct? And you wanted to ask me some questions, and we've had an email correspondence for the last year, maybe more. Is
something
that,
like that
something? Is it
right.
Is it more than a year? Or?
It might be a little bit less than a year, actually.
Okay.
I didn't start the website until like June or whatever, so a little bit before that.
Okay, so almost a year, whatever, and and so and what's your where are you from? Where you're from? Virginia? Did you say it, Tommy?
Yep, Norfolk.
Pardon me?
Norfolk.
How old are you?
19.
I mean, Jesus Christ, dude! You weren't even around when that was airing. What were you?
Well, I mean, I was around.
Were you? How old were you? Did you watch that when it was on, like, regular TV?
No. Oh, when Different Strokes was on.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That was in 78, and it went off in 86, and I was born in 86, so really, I wouldn't remember.
So did your mom watch it when she was pregnant? Maybe that's what happened. Your mom just had a lot of good laughs.
I don't know. I mean...
Wouldn't that be...
What? They don't even like Different Strokes.
They don't?
Not really.
You know, it'd be funny if you talk, you know, you talk to your mom. She's like, well, I always laughed at that Dana Plato. You know, she's pregnant, there you are, she's laughing at Dana Plato, then you just fall in love with Dana Plato.
I don't even know who she is.
Ah. So how do you know who she is what I'm asking.
Yeah, basically, I mean, I just got caught in watching different strokes on, like, Nick at Night, and then I just went online and searched up, you know, what they're doing now. When I found out she was dead, then I just started, you know, reading more about it, found out about your book.
Very interesting case, right?
Yeah.
But Dana Plato was hot, wasn't she?
Well, yeah, of course.
As a youngster, you know, how old were you when you were watching that on Nick at Night?
Probably 14, 15.
Okay, so she was perfect. She was your fantasy girlfriend, no?
I don't know. Since it was back in 78, I mean, I don't know. I kind of didn't want to think about it like that.
Okay, well, I did. No, I was just wondering.
Well, I mean, understandable.
Okay, so, so we're talking about my book and stuff like that, and so go ahead, let's ask me anything you want. Jonathan.
Okay, let me figure it out. Okay, well, here's a question for you.
And I did an interview on your website.
Right, yes.
All about Dana Plato. So, and it's going to stay there forever?
I guess as long as the site's up.
Okay.
Even after I'm gone, I still want the site. So maybe when I have kids, they can keep up with it.
Right on. That's a really nice thing. So there's an interview with me on there about Dana Plato on DanaPlatoForever.com. So go ahead, Jonathan. Hit me with questions. So what's your point here? You're researching, you're talking to all the characters and people, the components involved in the Dana Plato case, correct?
Correct.
Why?
Well, actually, if possible, I'd like to get Robert Menchaca in jail, basically.
Interesting. Interesting that you would...
That's why I'm going to use your help.
Okay. Well, let's now you got me on the radio, right? You know, so let's nail this down.
Okay.
G Money, let's talk, dude. So get me some questions. Hit me. So you spoke with Robert.
Right.
Okay. Well, give me some questions, man.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, I'll give you some questions about your book first, then we'll flip over to the, you know, trying to put him behind bars or whatever.
Okay.
Okay. So, all right. I was talking to Ralph. You remember him, correct?
Ralph.
From New York. He said he had dinner with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How'd you find him?
He contacted me through the website and all. And he said, he said for me to contact you, and I told him I was already in contact with you. And he said to mention him to you. He said you'd remember him. I didn't know if you would or not.
I do. He was great.
Right.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I was talking to him, and he was trying to tell me, He kind of freaked me out at first, to tell you the truth.
He's a freak. He's a stalker.
Yeah, are you serious?
Well, he seemed, he's just like an obsessed fan. So, I mean, I'm saying that in a playful way, not a serious way. But Ralph was obsessed with Dana Plato. He met me in New York, said he was taking me out for dinner. I believe I paid, and that's not the technical definition of taking me out to dinner, okay? So, I'm not that...
He told me differently. He said that he paid for everything for you.
Oh, no. My wife was with me. I went to a nice steakhouse, and I don't believe he paid.
Right.
Had he paid, I would have a really high point. He could be a fucking murderer rapist. And if he pays for dinner for me, I'm going to have I'm going to look at him very nicely, so.
Right.
I'm going to exclude his murder and raping ways if he buys me a steak. But he didn't, so.
Right.
But he was very nice and accommodating and took me around and showed me where John Lennon was shot.
Yeah, he said he took a picture of you in the spot or whatever you wanted that or something.
Yeah, he did, yeah. I laid on the ground where Lennon laid dead and got a photo taken of it, yeah. Which is today is December 8th, and that marks his anniversary death day.
Right,
yeah. So, yeah. Anyway.
So, basically, he was just, he kind of, like I said, he freaked me out at first because, hell, he talks to me almost every night now. And he sits there, and every time he talks to me, he says that he would have married her and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of freaky, to sit there and say that. And basically, everybody I talk to on the internet says he's a nut. So I don't know why I still talk to him. But anyway.
Because he's willing.
What do you mean?
Well, he's willing to talk. There's not that many people that are willing to talk about Dana Plato that much.
True, but I mean, he only met her like one time, so I mean, what's he really got to talk about? Such fantasy.
Yeah, I think he told me he never met her.
He told me, I think he said he met her one time at a slot machine in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, that is his story.
That's basically it.
Okay, well, let's keep this rolling. Dana Plato, death talk, okay?
Okay.
Let's talk. So you want to put her fiancé behind bars, and you got questions for me. Hit me.
Okay. Well, I think I got one of the emails. You actually told me that you have enough information to put the nail in Robert's coffin.
Is that the first question you're hitting me with?
Actually, yeah. I mean, I like to just go straight to the point.
Well, I mean, I have information, and I'm sort of working along the same lines you are as trying to build up this information where it's worth something to someone, okay? Which would mean a media outlet where I would get something out of it. As, and I don't... it's not necessarily all about getting something out of it, okay? But I need it to be valuable enough for people to go, we want to run that story. It's worth something to us.
Right.
That's what I mean, okay? I don't mean I get something out of it per se as a check.
Right.
But I would not refuse money either, okay? I don't want to sound like I'm so holy roller or some bullshit, because I'll take money and I'll take my name attached to it and try to sell some books for sure.
Right.
But So that's what I'm trying to do. And yeah, I have some stuff.
Okay.
I mean, I have some stuff. I have, which I'm going to have to air now, and I'm going to I want this to all come to fruition. But I have a recording of Robert saying, I'm going to do you like I did Dana. And I have recordings that his ex-wife played for me over the phone that say stuff like that. Uh-huh. You're going to end up like Dana if you fuck with me, bitch. Stuff like that.
Right.
I also have information that she turned it into the police, the Oklahoma police. But, you know.
Right.
So, yes, I have information. I have plenty of information like that.
Yeah, because it was funny when I talked to Robert or whatever, Ralph was telling me, said that you and Robert probably still had conversations together still.
Never.
Because he said something about drugs and stuff like that. I don't know anything about that.
Tell me what he said. I know you don't know anything about it. You can ask anything. Those are the questions you think you'd start with.
Right. Okay, well.
So start, ask me anything, dude. I'll tell you the truth.
Okay.
So I have never spoken to Robert Menchaca since the day I talked to him a couple times after she passed away.
Right.
And it was very, the last time I had a conversation with him is on Dana Plato's Last Breath, and it's with him crying and stuff like that.
Right.
On the CD. After that, we had very little to talk about. You know, it was like, her funeral's today, I'm going to go there. You know, stuff like that. It was very little. We checked in a little bit, but he was consumed with hard, you know, at that time, you have to understand, we were hit up, all of us, with, like, extra hard copy. They're all, you know, when I went outside my house, I had, like, National Enquirer people saying, I want to talk to him, and they were going through my trash and everything. It was really heavy. And so when that happened, it was like there are people out in front of my house with, like, $2,000 in cash in envelopes saying they want to talk to me for 10 minutes. Shit like that. So that's what we were under, and I think that's what he was doing, and that's what I was doing, trying to sort things out.
Right.
And so I never talked to him again after that because I went forward and did my book.
Yeah.
And I just concentrated on that.
Yeah, he wasn't too happy about that, it seems.
So what did he say about that?
Because basically I said, you know, because he said that he wanted to do a tell-all book, and he said shoot down rumors and all that, and I said, well, what about like Shane's book or whatever? He said, Shane? He said, who's that? I said, Shane Bugby. I mean, I'm sure you know him. And he said, oh yeah, he said, if I ever saw that son of a bitch again, I would strangle the motherfucker. So, and, you know, I thought that was, you know, I didn't think he'd say something like that about you, because, of course, Ralph was telling me you were friends or whatever.
Yeah, and Ralph said we're friends, we talked about drugs. What did Ralph say?
Well, Ralph was saying that he thinks that y'all still talk and all, because you probably still get your drugs from him.
Wow.
I would say that, I don't know.
Ralph is delusional. I wish I had ever gotten any, you know, I mean, that's just crazy. I don't know, Ralph is obviously not a drug user, are you?
Oh, no.
You don't drink alcohol, smoke weed, nothing?
Occasionally, but I mean, I don't do it often, no.
So you smoke cigarettes?
Nope.
Okay, well, I smoke weed here and there, and I have smoked weed, but if you know that, you know, drugs are available wherever you are. Why would I need Robert to get drugs? And that's just, and he's all the way in Oklahoma. I'm in the city of Chicago.
Right.
I really don't need anyone from Oklahoma for drugs. You know, they're on every corner in the city of Chicago, so that's really ridiculous.
Right. So anyway.
And if Rich, if he would ever offer me drugs, I would have been really friendly with him, for sure. Weed, you know, weed. Let's clarify that. I'm not into anything else but weed.
Right. Well, then Robert was telling me that everything that was in your book was basically false, and that you never cared about Dana, and all you wanted to do was make money off her death, and that was it. You never really cared at all.
Well. That's his opinion. I obviously cared.
I mean, I guess he's just thinking that you wrote a book and all, so basically you were just looking out for money or whatever. And I guess because it was, you know, so much bad stuff in it, not that it was false, but I guess, you know, I guess he wanted you to come out or with something that was, I don't know, that just candy-coated the whole, you know.
Well, you're talking about Robert and you're guessing what he's thinking, but you're telling me he's saying stuff that he's really speaking for himself. He's just projecting...
Right.
How he feels about things onto me, and that's just not true. You know, my motivation for writing that book was a lot of things. You know, there was a good handful of things, and part of that was to get it out of my system. You know, the whole experience was really hard for me to deal with. It's really hard for me to deal with the fact that I know what happened, and I know the timeline, and I've spoke to people about it. It's really hard for me to deal with the fact that the police never called me, even though I'm the last person to talk to Dana. I am that person. No one's ever spoken to me. The family never came to me. Her, what family they say they are, okay? This is a people that say they're her family. They never came to me. I was the person that had to get the phone call from her son on Mother's Day, dude, saying, hey, where's my mom? Okay?
Right.
Robert didn't take that call. As much as he's the man, you know, he didn't take the call, and he didn't make a call to the kid. Okay? So, he you know, let's talk about who cares about who. You know, as a man, if you're married and stuff, or you're getting married, you're going to call the family and say, Dana's dead. I don't know why they're calling me.
Right.
You know, a guy that's promoting and trying to, you know, do stuff with Dana, a business person.
Right.
There was no, we were business friends, you know? And so why is her son calling me looking for her on Mother's Day, dude?
That's true.
And do you know how hard that is?
I can imagine.
Okay. Okay, here's the thing. Dana Plato's dead, and I'm fucking get the phone call. And I'm, no one in the world knows this but me, Robert, the police. This hasn't hit the wires yet. No one knows. So it's really surreal to be involved in something like that before the headlines hit the news. And to look, and I remember being just, not crying right away, but I remember just being in shock, and then I remember running her name through eBay, because I just found out about eBay, and I was listing some stuff on there.
Right.
And seeing that her things were going for a dollar, and no one was buying them, and I was going, man, tomorrow morning these things are going to shoot through the roof. I know that might be a crazy thought. That's the first, one of the first things you do when you hear about the news that someone had passed away. But that's what I did. And you know, I guess Robert's right, correct to a point. I had a business relationship with Dana.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. I did care about money. It's business, and so did Dana. Dana took money from me.
Right.
Okay. Dana took money from me. So that's the relationship we always had, was
right.
Business and money.
Right.
Okay, it cost me $3,000 to send her to New York. $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
$4,000, dude.
Mm.
That's a lot of money. What?
Of course that's a lot of money.
Yeah. I paid for the plane ticket. I paid for the hotel, not Howard Stern. Okay?
Right.
And so, to say, you also said in your email that if I cared... Robert said, if I cared, I would have been in New York with her.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yep.
Well, that's an outrageous statement coming from a guy who can't hold a job.
Yeah, he's basically, I don't know if you know this, he's working for UPS now.
Well, I don't, you know,
Well, of course you wouldn't know it. I mean, you don't talk to him.
Well, I talked to his fiancée.
Right.
Boy, almost a year ago.
Right.
And I actually have the sheets and the bathing suit and Dana's glasses, her eyeglasses that she died in.
But who actually wants that stuff? Why would you want that?
Why would I want it? I wanted the story.
Okay.
Okay, so when someone comes to me and offers me the sheets that Dana died in and her glasses that she died in and all this, well, they want money. So what am I going to say? I don't want the crap. I want to talk to you about her death?
True.
Yeah. So it wasn't like I wanted the items to collect, but I wanted to know what was going on, and so I had no problem trying to work out a deal with her
right.
for the items, and you know, try to get more information, same as you are. I mean, same as you're doing. Why are you dealing with Shane Bugbee, people will ask you, and you'll answer them to get my story.
Right. I got you.
So, I have all that stuff.
Right.
The thing is, why would Robert keep it?
Yeah, because I heard they were selling it on eBay.
They were.
Yeah.
And so this was, you know, her, and she had given me Robert's cell phone and her father's number, his father's phone number and all that. And, you know, I had every intention of calling Robert and talking to him about it, which I probably will after this phone call, or shortly thereafter I will try to call him and talk to him and... You know, I don't have to tell him we ever spoke, though.
Okay.
Do you want me to not tell?
Well, I don't know if it matters. I mean, really, I don't give a shit what he says about me or thinks about me or whatever. So it doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
I mean,
right. So it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Right.
You know, so.
I mean, he wants me to do is write a book for him.
A book about what? Who cares?
That's what I'm trying to say. I guess he wants it to be called, like, Dana and Me, the Robert Menchaca story.
Yeah.
I mean, who the hell cares? I mean, how long? He was engaged to somebody else in 98, so he must have only known her about, what, maybe 8-9 months?
Well.
I mean, how much can he really know? I mean, he didn't even know she figure skated.
Well, okay, but here's the thing. Do you care about that I talked to Dana the last? Hmm? I'm the last person to talk to Dana?
Of course.
Do you realize that's sort of odd, seeing as she had a fiancé?
Yes.
Okay, because you're 19.
I didn't plan on leaving him.
What?
I heard.
That, well, that's true.
Why would she even care, you know, care to even talk to him at all?
Well, because she was living with him in a trailer. I mean, so when you have a relationship with someone, you know, when you're doing that, you're young and 19, you talk to them often. You know, you're living with someone, you're in a relationship, you're going to get married, you talk to them a lot.
Right.
So it's sort of odd that each night that I dealt with Dana, Dana and me had a good, we grew into a friendly relationship because she spoke to me so much, dude. I knew her maybe for 6-8 weeks, and she spoke with me for, fuck, dude, it was incredible. Like fucking 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day. That's for 8 weeks straight. And she has a fiance. And she's hanging out with her kid.
Right.
So that's like fucking, dude, that's like fucking 4 or 5 hours a day? 4 hours a day on average? That's a long time to talk to someone.
Right.
So she was obviously lonely. But she had a fiance. That sort of sucks. So he was really nothing to her. And he... this is coming from Dana's mouth, you know, the night before she died, was that, how did she put it? All he cares about is the money. She was really upset because all he cared about was the money. He never asked, and this is in her words, he never asked me how I did on the show. All he did was, what happened with that money? Where's that money? And, you know, at that point, once I calmed her down and got her in a hotel and all that stuff and paid for her dinner and paid for all of the bills, once that happened, we spoke and she was going to move up to Chicago and live in an apartment above me because we had some acting work for her.
Right.
So, anyway.
Hmm. Interesting.
What?
No, I'm just saying that's interesting.
Well, it's interesting that the thing that's interesting to me is that I had a call. I spoke with Dana you know, less than fucking 8 hours before she's dead. Cops never call me. No investigators call me. But it wasn't like a hello goodbye phone call. She was crying her eyes out. She was emotionally distraught, man.
Right.
I mean, she was really upset by the whole thing, like having an emotional breakdown.
Right.
And you know, that was crazy for me to deal with at that time. I was like, wow, she's really upset. This is really upsetting me. And then the next day she wakes up dead. Or she gets on a plane. She called me every step of the way. I told her, call me. Call me when you wake up. Call me when you get on the plane. Call me from payphone. So she did. She called me from the airport. I'm getting on the plane. You know what I mean?
Right.
But we never had another conversation after that one.
Right.
And then she stopped calling me when she got to Oklahoma.
Right.
Okay, so that was odd to me because she had called me every step of the way. Dana came from a world where she was, you know, she grew up being catered. So that was like, you know, catered on, taken care of, where people would say, your ride's going to be here at 4 p.m. Stand here at 3:45. So she'd stand there and wait for her ride to get there. You know what I mean?
Yep, okay.
And so that's what she was used to. So dealing with her, that was how it was. You know, Dana, when you get to the airport, call me. I'll make sure the car's there. And it was very, a lot of work.
Right.
And so, you know, that's very upsetting to me that no one ever spoke with me. Her family, her friends, the police, no one. But they'll comment about me now.
Right.
Now that I had to put out a document like Dana Plato's last breath to get their fucking attention.
Right.
But now I've got all their attention. And what are they doing about it?
Nothing.
Nothing. Is that Johnny Whitaker that you're giving money to?
Who?
Or Paul Peterson?
Oh, that's Paul Peterson.
Okay. Johnny Whitaker and Dana Plato's ex-husband and his mother, Joni, appeared on Queen Latifah with me.
Right.
Have you seen that?
No. I was going to ask about it, though.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Well, am I talking too much?
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please. You...
No, I mean, I was going to ask you, like, what went on with the show and all, anyway. Now, when you were on that show.
Oh, well, it was amazing that these people turned out for a fucking show like that, but Dana's living in a fucking trailer. These people took money and plane tickets and took limos. It was funny. It was all about sexual perversion on the internet or something like that. And that's how they proposed the show to me. When I get there, they tell me Dana Plato's family's there. And they're going to debate me on stage.
Right.
Well, I tell them, that ain't happening. And they say, why? I go, well, all you're going to do is edit it out so I look like an idiot. I'll never get a word in. And long story short, after the show, I spoke with some of the girls that were on the show. They were dominatrixes and girls who did porno on the internet. They took the limo over with these people. And these this is their impression, these dominatrixes and stuff that were on the show. Their impression of these people, that's Dana's ex and the mom. These girls are saying it to me without prompting, without knowing my story, without knowing a fucking thing. You know, it's like, hey, so what'd you think about those people you drove over? And they go, oh, Dana Plato's family? And I go, yeah, what were they like? And they're like, they were creepy, man. All they cared about was the money. And I go, what money? And they go, well, they were just hoping to get something out of this. And I was like, you're kidding me. And they went on to tell me what they were saying in the limo. You know, to sum it up, that's all they cared about was what they could get out of it or the money. Johnny Whitaker was hoping to get a, you know, they were looking to get a book deal. And then they went on and on the show and said how they're going to do a tribute site like yours.
Right.
But called DanaPlato.org.
Okay.
And that's where the real Dana Plato will be housed. But because they never got any funding for it, they never did it.
Right.
And that was really upsetting to me. The whole thing was upsetting to me. It was really a very strange trip this has been.
Well, did you ever get my email about the fund I'm setting up?
Or the what?
The basic, I'm setting up a Dana Plato Memorial Fund. You've got that email, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess maybe since they're not doing it, I'll do it.
Well, but why is the money going to those places? Why wouldn't it go to her son?
Well, for one, I mean, I don't even know her son. And two, I mean, I just figured, you know, she had a substance abuse problem, which basically, you know, help others so that they don't fall in the same problems that she did. And then, child actors, you know, she basically was a child actor that fell on hard times, and there's plenty others that do.
Yeah, I see.
Why not help them?
I understand
you know, they don't fall in the same, you know, pattern that she did. And, you know.
I understand your reasoning for some of it. I just don't understand why her son's not included in that.
Well, I mean, I try to get in contact with the family, but I can't get in contact with anybody. So, I mean, I try to go through Johnny Whitaker, and he was friendly at first, and now he just doesn't even return calls or my emails now.
Why is that?
I don't know. It could be because I ran an interview on the site with you, and he told me the family would have no part if I did.
Well, you know, that's weird because, you know, I did go on. Did you know I went on Court TV? Me and my wife went on Court TV against Joni?
Yep.
Have you seen it?
Nope. Yeah. I mean, are there tapes of this shit running around somewhere?
I have some.
Okay, well, maybe I'll pay you. You can send me a copy.
Yeah, that might happen someday.
Okay. So anyway, what actually happened on there? I mean, same thing, still 1 month.
Well, that was a live debate, and that one I agreed to do. Because right. I was like, you know, the thing with the live radio I'll do, because you can't edit it, you know, I'll do some live debate. And on that, you know, we went back and forth. And but Joni, you know, I basically, you know, me, I think Joni had her hand in helping out with this. And if she didn't actually have a conscious decision to kill her, it was subconscious. You know, she's an intelligent woman. You know, she helped her get a doctor that would score her just huge amounts of pills, and that was really crazy. You know, the combination of pills Dana was taking, you know, is what killed her.
Right.
At least that's what they say. You know, shit, man. After I talked to, fuck. You know, I guess in the book when I thought that about the mom, I really thought that today I don't so much see the family as being guilty. I see it as all Robert. Well, then I did think that. You know, it was, I'm going back in the day there when it happened, and you know, I was thinking they were all in cahoots.
Right.
So that's what happened on Court TV.
Right.
You know.
Well, okay, well, what's your idea? I don't know if you had this in your book or not. I've only skimmed through your book a little bit. But I heard something about a pink ribbon. Is that in your book or not?
Pink ribbon?
Yeah. I sent you an email about it, didn't I? Well, basically, it was in the story that I sent you about he had a pink ribbon on him. And he basically, you know, that's how he tied Dana up. And he forced the somas down her throat. And basically, when the police came and all, the pink ribbon couldn't be found. Which, of course, you know, I don't know if this was in your book either about Robert having a bisexual relationship with a police officer. Is that in your book?
No. I think that came... where'd that come from for you? Where'd you get that info?
Basically, I've tried to be in contact with a few people in Moore, Oklahoma, and it came through a guy by the name of Trey, who's some gay guy down there that basically, you know, he knew Dana, and he wanted to, and Dana contacted him a few times and wanted him to do, like, wanted to take, like, you know, nude pictures of her or whatever.
Oh, is this the guy that they stayed with off and on?
I don't know.
Trey?
Have you ever heard of him?
You know, I do recall her staying with a gay couple, right. I believe, when she was down there, here or there.
Right. Yeah, and anyway, she wanted him to take, like, nude pictures of her in, like, the snow and stuff like that, and videos for them to sell.
She wanted that?
She wanted that, yep.
Yeah, okay.
So basically, you know, that was it. And he basically told me that about a pink ribbon and all, and that basically it was never seen because Robert was having a bisexual relationship with a police officer in Moore, Oklahoma, and he came and cleaned the whole thing up.
Well, but the pink ribbon, you know, and the cop cover-up is sort of far-stretched, really, if you really think about it, young man, because the coroner has the duty to do the autopsy proper. And then that would show signs of struggle on her wrists where she was tied up. And the coroner could, you know, enlighten everyone. You know what I mean?
But actually, that brings me to another point.
Mm-hmm.
That they cremated the body so fast.
Right.
And that, you know, basically there was rumors that Joni, of course, paid off the coroner, you know, to basically, and they left a whole bunch of shit out of the autopsy report.
Well, where are those rumors coming from?
Basically, from Trey, Ralph. Basically, Ralph talks to the same people I do. And because Joni's husband's a successful bone doctor or whatever, a successful doctor down there, and they give so much money to politics and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, a lot of that...
They did her a favor.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff does come out of my book, where we raise questions about all that stuff.
Right.
But again, you know, you're talking about a conspiracy theory and a plot that would include a lot of smart people, and that's just not going to happen, dude.
You don't think so?
No, because there's too many people involved now. Now you got the coroner, the cop, Robert, the mom, the dad, everyone under the sun. You know what I'm saying? It's just that's a hard one to believe. The more believable one is that that Robert did something. You know, that's the more believable theory.
Right. But he had to have help with it. I mean,
why?
Smart enough to do it himself.
But no, you don't. He doesn't have to have help with it. And the fucked up thing is, look at how people in really fucked up areas like that look at people like that. They're automatically going to think that because Dana was an ex-drug user or whatever, that she just went back to that and she OD'd. It's a lot more, you know, it's a lot more logical to think along those lines, you know, that's just
right.
What everyone assumed happened.
Yeah.
That bitch has been at, you know, I mean, oh, you're going to tell me this girl, she robs a video store, she's doing everything under the sun, horrible to herself. She ends up on the National Enquirer cover looking dead almost.
Right.
And you're going to tell me that, you know, now that she, and I do believe she sobered up and sort of straightened out a little bit. Or she really was striving at the point that I met her to do that.
Right.
You're going to tell me that now all of a sudden these people are going to believe that she's an angel? No, man, they're just going to go with what was happening.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, it could happen. I mean, just basically because I got more people in my story.
Yeah, anything could happen. But that's just, let's put logic, apply some logic to it. Apply some logic to it. That, you know, the logical point is, and this is, you know, this is absolutely what I believe happened, and through my research and talking to enough people, that not just Dana Plato's friends that read my book and are spouting back facts at you,
right.
And not just people that she brushed with, but I'm talking about people who were there and saw it happening. And had lived with Robert, you know, been with him, talking about personal type stuff like that. I believe that, you know, he sat there and watched it happen. I don't think he pushed pills in her mouth. I think Dana did that. I mean, I've got recordings of Dana slurring her words. I think she was one of the first people to abuse Oxycontin and all these designer drugs that people are talking about now in the news.
Right.
I believe she was abusing drugs still, prescription drugs.
Right.
And I think that she had a hard time the night before. She took some extra pills, and she passed out. Now, there was a syringe found at the scene.
Right.
And I'd like to know if that was ever tested, and what was a syringe doing in the van. And that is something police found and inventoried. Okay? And see, those are logical questions. You're talking about this mysterious pink ribbon that's missing. Well, hey, dude, why was there a syringe there? Do you got an answer to that?
No, but I'll get one.
You're an investigator, but you're talking smack about all this fantasy and building some fucking mysterious story when the fucking logical stuff, the obvious stuff, isn't being questioned. And that's what really blows me away.
I'm gonna question that.
Hold on. But you didn't question it. You're telling me about a pink ribbon, which is fantasy.
I'm conversation pieces now. I'm not done with the investigation.
Okay, well, let's...
I'm easing into the question with Robert first.
Hey, bro. But I'm not up to hearing bullshit like that, though. Because okay. I have done this stuff.
Right.
And I'm up to getting results at this point. Okay? I'm not up to hearing about bullshit. And I'm not up to talking about bullshit on this. You know, I want something to happen. And I think the logical points are that why was there a syringe in that truck? And was it tested? And if so, what was the result? Now there, what?
Okay, I'm just listening.
Now see, that's a logical thing. Because now if she did pass out, let's say she took some drugs and she passes out. She had a hard day, you know? And then Robert comes up, he knows that she's leaving him. And he shoots it up into her, you know, in the back of her leg or something to overdose her. That makes logical sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but then again, I mean, I guess there wouldn't be no needle markings on the...
Well, there would.
Well, okay, then...
There would, I mean...
Is that there?
Well, that's the more logical things is there needle marks?
You said that basically when I said he forced, you said there would be something on the autopsy report about, like, you know, where
there should be.
Down there.
Well, there should be. That's what I'm saying.
I'm just saying in my whole story.
Well, no, what you were saying, you're getting all defensive, like, you know, what you were saying was, there's a cop involved in the cover-up, and then I'm saying, well, then the coroner has to be involved, too. And now we're talking about this whole trail of evidence and whole huge conspiracy, which is just stupid. It's stupid. There's no fucking way in the world there's that many people involved in covering up a drug addict's death. You don't have to cover up a scumbag's death. She wasn't Princess Diana, dude. She was looked at, in the majority of people in the mainstream looked at her as a fucking criminal and a drug addict. And with that shit, man, you could have fucking shot her in the fucking head and they would have left her in the alley and picked her up and said, she must have been buying drugs. She was an easy target for Robert. She was easy. That's what I'm saying. This, you go to the simple part of it.
Right.
Let's not make it so complicated and confusing like I did with my book.
Right.
I made it too complicated. But I put that out right away, and those were all things I was questioning at the time.
Right.
Today, I'm sorry that I ever accused Joni practically, because I'm not really sure about her involvement. I do have animosity towards her because she didn't care for Dana. She didn't help Dana out as much as Dana needed.
Right.
And so I do have animosity towards her for that. And I, I put some blame on her for that. But in the reality of this, is there's some very simple things that you can look at. And I understand it because I dealt with Dana. She was doing drugs.
Right.
Something I didn't necessarily believe when she died. But listening to my tapes and looking back on it, I know that's what happened. She was doing, you know, taking some painkillers and some sleeping pills and whatever it was she was taking to numb the pain right. of her life. And so she was doing that stuff. It is odd that I sent her $500 and she lost it in New York. It's a little odd, don't you think?
Yeah.
That's okay. So these are all things on Dana's shoulders. She's dating a guy who is doing crystal meth and stuff like that. She's dating a drug addict and a known scumbag.
That's funny. Robert mentioned crystal meth to me. He said he never would do that. He has a lot of friends that do it, and all he tries to do is get them into rehab and all that.
Why did he mention that to you?
Because he basically was talking about that he's very involved in his family life now, and, you know, he's, you know, involved with his friends and all, because in that area, crystal meth is such a big thing, and he's got so many friends that are on it, and he just, you know, he doesn't want to see somebody get screwed up on it, and he just, you know, tries to do whatever he can to help friends, and he's trying to get some of them into rehab and all that.
Yeah, well, he's talking about himself, because, like I said, his ex-wife or his ex-fiancée told me gaggles of stories about him on meth.
Right.
And stuff like that. So, but Robert was a drug user. He's a scumbag. You know this. We know this.
Right.
These are facts. You can look at Robert's history. Talk to his father. I have. And he'll Robert isn't that good of a dude. Okay? So you got, these are all things that lay on Dana's shoulders. She's living in a camper. She's taking pills. And she's hanging out with Robert, a scumbag. Okay? Now you put that on these scales of justice. Okay? And these are things that are on her shoulders, man. She's in this camper. She's ODing. I really believe that Robert, if he helped anything, he would have pushed a pillow over her face or something.
Right.
I don't, or he would have shot her up. Those are the logical things that you can go after and research.
Right.
Now, I don't know about the coroner's report, and I'm not educated to say there was a cover-up. But there are people that can do that.
Right, yeah.
And those people should be involved or look it over. There is evidence that Robert has said, I'll do you like Dana. Which could just be some crystal meth crazy threat to his wife, because she, that was her boogeyman, you know? Psychologically, he knew that would scare her, because she probably accused him of that at some point. You probably right. killed Dana. Yeah, bitch, I did, and I'll kill you. In the heat of an argument, that could happen. Doesn't mean it's true. I do think Robert Menchaca is responsible. To what point?
Well, he's at least responsible for what, criminal negligence.
Right. Is, that's yeah. right. That's right. I that is 100%.
Right.
That is something that, that is 100%. That's something I wouldn't argue with you. What extent and how he carried through with things, I don't know. But let's, okay, I have, let me say, I have, let me say, if we put and give faith that there's no cover-up, there's no big plot, which I don't believe there is
right.
anymore. I don't believe there's this big conspiracy. So let's say the coroner's report's all solid. Everything went down the sort of the way, you know, the coroner says or whatever. Well, I definitely think Robert probably stood there and watched.
Well, he took pictures.
Right. But he said that was after her death, friend.
Yeah, but didn't the police
say... What I'm saying is he sat there, okay? When you listen to my tape and I say that's Dana Plato's last breath, and you hear that sort of on the phone, this is where I think... I really do believe this was happening. Death like that isn't, it's not fast. That's not a quick death.
Right.
Robert did say somewhere in some interview that I read that he was in his mom's house. He left the truck, came in there, was talking to her for an hour, came back out to check on Dana and found her blue.
Right.
Well, I think, you know, probably... If we lined up his cell phone records with when he called me and did that, I'm going to bet you she was sitting there dying. He saw it. And, you know, he saw the opportunity. This bitch is leaving me. I ain't helping her. This is where I'll make some money.
Right.
And that's what I think happened. You know, I think that's what happened.
Well, you never got a cell phone record then, I'm assuming.
Pardon me?
You never got a cell phone record then, right?
I had some of that stuff for sure. I think I still have my phone records of when he called me and stuff, because I think they called collect a lot.
Right.
I have a lot of that stuff. I had it. I photocopied it. I have it somewhere.
Right. Yeah, because I contacted the phone company or whatever to see if I could try to get his phone records, but of course, you know, you got to have that subpoenaed by a court.
Yeah, it's been so many years, it's probably all gone.
Well, yeah.
It is, man. I mean, it's been a long time.
I don't know. I talked to some phone companies and they keep it for 10 years, and I talked to some and it says 6 months.
Right.
So, I'm just...
Believe me, they run the ghetto plan. Well, they run the ghetto plan. They were paid per minute. They didn't have a contract. You know, let's talk about the reality of it. Some people do this. Some people do that. Dude, they were on the pay per minute deal, you know, or whatever. They were on the cheap end of things.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to keep... No company in the world is going to take care of the ghetto, all right? Or any kind of ghetto-licious stuff.
Right.
And so, well... So I really, that's what I think happened. I really think something like that happened, you know, after talking to everyone. And it's just very sad that it did happen. It upsets me, you know, but so.
Well, I mean, basically, I was also going to bring up, too. I basically heard that the pictures you have in your book are actually her dead.
Yeah, where'd you hear that from?
Take a guess.
I'm not going to. You answer.
Ralph.
Yeah, well, Ralph's an idiot. Look at the pictures.
That's what I tried to say. I said it makes no sense because...
Well, look at him.
Well, that's what I tried to tell him. I said, is the picture real? Just to see what he'd say. And he said, yeah. He said, I found out from Shane they're real.
Well, he's lying to you.
And then I said, well, it really makes no sense because in the picture she just... It looks like she just has a bra on because of the top.
Well, look at him.
Basically, they said that they had to cut a blue tank top off her.
How did I just answer you? How did I just answer you?
I don't know. I was just going to try to... myself. I don't know.
You don't know how I just answered you?
I wasn't really listening. What'd you say?
Well, the same thing I said when the National Enquirer asked me. You asked a very leading question.
Right.
Are those photos of her dead? Well, I know what answer you want.
What?
National Enquirer, I know what they want. You're asking me a question that's easy to answer. And I can answer it in a way to lead you and say, I mean, look at them, dude. Look at him. Did I say yes? Did I say no?
No.
I said look at him. And that's what I said to you. Look at him.
Well, I mean, whether you said anything or not, I was going to tell you why I thought they weren't real.
Look at them. They're horrible.
Right.
That's all I have to say.
So what pictures are they from?
They're from some movie she was in.
Ah.
I mean, look at them. They have a time stamp on the fucking bottom. It says an hour. It's a movie stamp. Anyone in the movies probably knows what that is.
Right.
It's in some movie that was made that was on the internet that was, I grabbed right away after she passed away, and it was some movie that she made, or a promo, or maybe it was a movie that never got made, I don't know, but it was like the master copy.
So why does everybody say that's her dead?
Because the National Enquirer said it.
Yeah, but if you believe everything that's in the National Enquirer...
Hey, on. Hold on. You know what, friend? Those are the only people that are going to listen to you, and me. And those are the people that break cases. They put O.J. Simpson... In debt because of the shoes. They caught John Belushi's killer. Those are the people that actually put money into this stuff.
John Belushi's killer?
Yeah.
I thought he took an overdose.
Well, no. This girl shot him up in his hotel room.
Okay, but that's another story anyway.
It is another story, but the fact is the National Enquirer will actually put funds into investigating stuff like this.
Right, well, yeah, but they published a lot of bullshit, too.
Well, I don't believe that's true. I don't believe that's true at all.
You don't believe what's true, that they publish a lot of bullshit?
Yeah, I happen to know that's not true.
Yeah, but you just said yourself that they have pictures in there and said that was her dead.
No, they went and quoted me at what I said.
Okay?
They asked me if it was true. I said, look at them. So they went with that. And the way they phrase things is legal. If they planted all bullshit, they would be out of business. We're talking about businesses, not bar talk.
Really? I mean, there's a lot of magazines just publish, like, rumors and bullshit, and basically people just right, well, see what they want.
Oh, come on, dude, but they'd be put out of business if they didn't phrase it in the proper way.
Oh,
it, it's just not like that. It's not like that at all. They print rumors, sure. They put. You mean they push the envelope? You mean they print rumors that they've heard? You mean they don't have to sit there all day and all night and fact-check things until they're blue? They do. They go with stuff and they say it's a rumor or this is what we're hearing. They do push the envelope to get stories. The what they do is print bullshit because it's about fucking J-Lo or Dana Plato, which is bullshit. There's bigger problems in the world than one person's death. Okay? That's what's bullshit about those papers, is it's fucking garbage that they're printing about. Who gives a fuck about Ben Affleck and J-Lo?
Right.
And I don't care if one of them is found dead in a trailer, to tell you the truth. That's what's bullshit about the National Enquirer. But they're the only motherfuckers that'll listen to what we're saying and will actually put money into investigating it. They're it.
Right.
So you can call them as bullshit as you want.
Right, I understand what you're saying.
And when
do
they
you
put,
honestly think they're going to actually pick anything up in this case will ever get solved?
Well, that's what I'm building on. That's why I say I have to get enough where it's of value.
So what do you want me to do to help you?
Let's just continue doing what we're doing. Let's keep interviewing people and do that stuff. I'll get together what I have, you get together what you have,
okay,
and we can present it in all different ways, all right, different scenarios. I don't necessarily have to agree with what you say, but we can still go and present this to them. You know, I don't agree with the conspiracy theories anymore, and I've got...
It doesn't mean what I say, you know, that yeah, didn't happen.
How long's it been?
You're saying it's a long shot.
How long's it been since she's passed away? 8 years?
Huh?
Seven? How many years? Six?
Happened in 99.
Okay, well, I'm asking. I'm bad with dates. I'm bad with my own birthday.
That's fine. I got
you. So, did you say 7 years?
Six.
6 years? Yeah, You know, oh yeah, that's right, because on the fifth anniversary, I got all this information, everything, and all that info. So I was pretty shocked. You know, all we can do is present this stuff and see what we have. I mean, getting Dana Plato's death sheets and her glasses and stuff, yeah, the National Enquirer will probably run with stuff like that because it's fucked up and bullshit.
Right.
But that's how they get the headlines. That's how they make it exploitive and stuff like that. But that's the same thing I did with my book. And with that stuff, it gets attention of people. You know, it does. These people didn't talk to me before I did that book. They wouldn't even acknowledge me. When I did it, though, they all like, we won't talk to you about that. Well, why? Why? What was wrong with my book? Can you tell me what's wrong with it?
What?
What is wrong with it? I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, it's basically, I don't know, basically your way of, what did you say? It was your way of dealing with pain, and that's basically you just wrote down what you thought happened.
It was one thing, yeah.
I mean, it's not like, I mean, not everything in your book probably now is true, you probably figured out. But, I mean, at the time, that's what you actually thought happened, so you just wrote it, published it.
They were definitely things like you're having. They were like ideas or thoughts or concepts that I was kicking around. I did it, one, because, and I didn't know it at the time, but it was to get it out of my system. Mm-hmm. The main reason when I did it was to try to shake things up and get people to talk to me about the case. So I could, you know, we could try to bring a resolution to it. The only thing that mattered to me then, and the only thing that matters to me today, okay, isn't Robert. It isn't justice. It is, and well, justice is there for me, but the justice to me is to change her death from a suicide to anything but a suicide. Because...
Right.
The only thing Dana cared about was her son. And out of respect to her, that's all I care about. Okay? And that's why the first question I ask you is, why isn't her son getting anything? Because that's all Dana cared about.
Right.
Okay?
Well, do you have any... You probably have no relationship with
her. I don't, but there's an address in my book that listed a bank that you can donate for him.
Is that even still open?
I don't know. That's, call him and find out, man. I would
have... Okay, I got
call
it.
The bank.
Okay, I got
tell them you want to donate money to that account and see what they do.
Right.
But my point to you is that's all Dana cared about. She didn't give a fuck about a home for drug addicts or child stars, dude.
Well, I don't know. That was in an interview. I read it. I don't know. That's
well,
what I got.
Guess what? I talked to her for 4 hours a day for 8 weeks.
No, I'm just saying that's what I got from other interviews.
Okay, but interviews are bullshit. Most of the time, interviews are garbage. You're not honest in them. You're selling a book. She's selling something. She's doing something. She's not going to be honest and open in interviews, okay? When I spoke with her on the phone, a lot of times she would say, well, this is some stuff I'd like to go in the book, because we'd start talking about her deals when she'd fly out to New York and hang out in a tree and have, you know, and all these cool things she did on the set and all this stuff that she did. And that stuff she would say, I'd like this in the book. This is good stuff for those books we're working on. And then other times we would just sit there and talk to shit and be honest about things. Honesty doesn't always come over in interviews, okay? And I'm telling you, all she cared about was her fucking son. That's it.
So you think I should change my goals?
That's your goals. You do what you want. I'm sure you're...
I mean, I want your opinion. Of course, you know a lot more than me.
I just gave you my opinion. You do what's going to make you happy.
Okay.
I don't care about where anything... I care only about one thing. I told you what I care about. It's only that her death has changed from a suicide. And if we can do that for her son, that would mean the world. Because not only does that bother me, but it's times 100 because it's on Mother's Day. So imagine, you have a mom and a dad, but imagine if your mother killed herself on Mother's Day or the day before she's coming to see you.
Right.
Isn't that sort of going to hurt your feelings?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make any sense anyway, because you wouldn't do it unless...
Thank you.
You know, unless you want to give your son basically a lifelong, you know, basic, you know, nightmare, basically.
Right.
I mean, you know...
Dude, all she wanted was to get home and see that kid.
Right.
That was the conversation I had with her before she left. She didn't want to go because Mother's Day was coming up, but she needed the money. And Howard Stern gave her one shot, and it was that Friday. She needed the opportunity. And when it all came down to bullshit interviews and all the things that you're going to read online and all the nice stuff, I talk business with Dana. When people talk business, it's a different conversation. Okay? And this is how Dana Plato talked about all of it after we got to getting on with a relationship. She said, Shane, I don't give a shit about any of that stuff. I don't want to be Dana Plato anymore. I want to do anything it'll take to get me the money. I have a house down here I want to buy, and I want to be Tyler's mom. I don't want to be Dana Plato anymore. I want to be Tyler's mom. And she didn't care about anything else, because like at one point Joni was proposing to open up a restaurant and have Dana Plato be there as the manager, and she'd be greeting you at the door, some shit like that, and that was just killing Dana.
Right.
You know, but she was sitting there telling me, I'll do it. I'll do anything. I don't want to be Dana Plato anymore. I hate it. I want to be Tyler's mom. I just want to take my kid to school, and they got a nice clothesline out in back. I want to hang up my clothes on it and wait for Tyler to get out of school. And that's what she wanted, dude. And then have that trip of a friend telling you that stuff on the phone, or a semi-friend, a business friend, and then she dies the day before Mother's Day, and the kid calls and goes, hey, do you know where my mom is? I'm dying to see her. You know, she promised she'd be here today. She said she got me a gift from New York. And that's the call I got to take. And that's
a lot worse than when you actually said it earlier in the conversation after you've explained all this.
Yeah. And then I got to know that Dana only cared about that kid. And that really is that's the only burden I have on my back today. It's the only reason I would entertain talking to you about Dana Plato or anything.
Right.
You know, when I put that book out, I wanted everyone's head on a platter for letting this happen, from Joni making bad decisions to the ex-husband to Dana's original mom that gave her up for adoption, to everyone that turned their back on her. And you know, because of Dana Plato, you know, this Paul Peterson prick, you know, fuck that guy. He's just an old fucking has-been. Who gives a fuck about that loser? He can't get work.
That's what a lot of people tell me, but I just...
Well, he is.
I just chose his charity. Child actors. I don't know.
What was that?
That's basically, I mean, I don't know the guy. I've never even met him. All I hear is he's a dickhead.
Yeah, he's a miserable dickhead that could never get... He's like one of these miserable child stars. But because of Dana Plato's death, okay, directly because of it, you see child stars are treated a lot differently today. They're taken care of more. Hollywood has accepted their responsibility, finally. After, geez, probably, 50 years of that kind of abuse of child stars, Dana Plato's death sent him over the top. Seeing the book, seeing the whole outcome of that case, seeing how she turned out, how she constantly was crying for help, robbing video stores, doing anything she could, screaming out for help, and she never got it.
And why do you think that is?
No one cared.
And this is Philip H. Anselmo from Superjoint Ritual, and you're listening to Three Ring Radio.